Sarah Devenier, and this is the Faith Is Not Blind podcast. And I'm here today with J. Kirk Richards. And it's a privilege to be able to talk to him because his art is so inspiring and yet so nuanced. A lot of the people in the church, like myself, love his art, but it's not just for the art. It's for the inspiration behind it and the thought behind it. So today we'll have a rare opportunity to be able to talk to Kirk about his personal story and how his faith and his art combine to make something so beautiful and complex. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Well, I'm honored. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So if you could just talk about, a lot of people that may be familiar with your art may not be familiar with sort of the process of your art, especially when you sort of discovered that you were an artist. What I'm wondering is if you could talk about how the process of becoming an artist maybe was reflected in your faith, or how you first saw your faith and your art sort of being synthesized together, even when you were first starting out.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think some of my earliest memories of art, well, first of all, I grew up in a musical family, and some of my lessons were in the Fine Arts Center on Brigham Young University campus. And so I was a little kid. I had a giant French horn that I was carrying down the halls of the Fine Arts Center past these beautiful paintings by faculty and students there on campus. And there's something just in those visual art pieces that really moved me. And I thought, I just want to be part of the spirit of this work. And eventually I convinced my parents to let me exchange my music lessons for art lessons. And that kind of put me on a journey to explore what I felt were some gifts that were latent inside me, but that could be used to express some of the spiritual feelings I had and just feelings about life, you know. I felt like there was a language in the visual arts that I was desperate to learn how to speak, to be able to communicate, to have the skills to make something that would be a statement in art. And that kind of began my journey. So, I don't know if, do you want me to just keep?
Yeah, keep talking about that, yeah.
Okay. So, one of the biggest blessings early on in my young adult life was to receive a mission call to the Rome, Italy mission. And I felt like that was, I felt like God was involved in that, that God was interested in my own desires and in seeing me kind of fulfill my goals to learn art and to become an artist. I didn't do a lot of art on my mission, but I was certainly exposed to the great works of, you know, Michelangelo and Caravaggio and some of the greatest religious works, Christian works that that the world has seen. And so that was definitely a blessing.
Yeah, so it, a lot in this podcast we talk about sort of the ideal and the real. And I would imagine that when you first felt these sort of glimpses of how God was involved in your mission call and that God was showing you these gifts, that maybe it would feel like the road should just be clear. Well, I should start painting pictures of the Savior. And how did you navigate trying to find your own voice as an artist within sort of LDS culture?
Yeah, that's a great question. I remember, in fact, when I had declared my major, many people expressed concern, And some of the concern was that I wouldn't be able to provide for a family as an artist. But also some of the concern was that it can be difficult to be an artist in a conservative culture.
Right.
And I remember my uncle called me and expressed this concern. He asked me if I'd read the book, My Name is Asher Lev, which talks a lot about an artist in a conservative Jewish community, and kind of how those things rubbed up against each other and the friction that it caused. I told him I had read it and that I loved that book.
It's a fantastic book. Yeah. So that's Chaim Potok. And yeah. What I was just thinking of that. So what did he say about the book, and then how did you respond to it?
He just asked if I'd read it. And again, he said, you know, it can be very difficult for an artist to navigate a conservative culture, to come up in a conservative culture, and, you know, those things may come in conflict at some point, you know, and he, I mean, I don't think he's not somebody who would belabor a point, so not a lot of words were spoken, but I assured him that I felt like I was up to the challenge, and we continued on our way.
Yeah, so in the book, Asher Lev, I mean, he faces significant tension. I mean, so much cognitive dissonance, trying to figure out how he can be an artist within a faith that doesn't believe that God should be represented in art. Have you had moments where you were conflicted about what you should represent and maybe where it rubbed up against the culture in similar ways, like you said, in a culture maybe that believes that art should be a certain way, because you have sort of expanded the expression of how Christ and our heavenly parents are represented in different ways?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, that's part of the excitement and the interest in art, I think, is that kind of exploration. And so I'm not... maybe I'm getting too philosophical too early, but maybe I should backtrack and talk about some of that direct tension.
Yeah.
So as I was getting my education, I felt like I was a little frustrated at times because I wanted something that was in between kind of what the fine arts program was teaching me versus the illustration program. That felt like there was this gap in between, which was I think some of the more classical approaches to figurative art. And at one point I dropped out of school for a time and floundered, frankly, for several months. I had a job at one of the local frame shop galleries, and I eventually ran into an opportunity came up for me to study with a kind of a classically trained artist, and he was going to be coming to Utah to teach a workshop. And that workshop was actually, we were going to be drawing and painting from the live nude model, right? And so I'm a young Mormon kid, who had just returned from his mission and had been probably as faithful to the For the Strength of the Youth pamphlet as anybody I knew, faced with this prospect of do I go to this session with a nude model and learn what I feel like I needed to learn, or make another decision. And this might seem kind of trivial in retrospect or in hindsight, but I think that it's not uncommon even today. I hear from lots of young artists that are coming up you know, in the church and in our community, and asking themselves and asking me, how do I resolve this conflict of, you know, and I, my advice is usually that it's something that you need to pray about and consider. You know, this is a decision that you should own. And that's the biggest thing that I've come, the biggest kind of place that I've arrived at, is that if it's you making that moral decision, then you can live with it the rest of your life and into eternity. It needs to be something that you decide as an individual and that you feel good about in your heart.
Yeah, would you mind sharing about that process? Because I think there are a lot of people who, they want to communicate or commune with God and ask Him about decisions. What does that look like for you, especially early on? And how did you know that this was sort of Him reaching your reaching, as the hymn says?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think I try to frame things now and then, I did as well, in terms of my understanding of the gospel. And if we look at different examples of the way people have approached living the gospel, including the example of Eve in our theology, we honor her for making the impossible decision to take the fruit and to know from her own experience to become like God, right? Had I not gone down that path of training and exercising my moral agency to become experienced, and had I instead chosen to remain in that innocent state, mm-hmm. I would not have developed the skills in order to communicate a deeper spirituality or a deeper sense of what it means to struggle with religion and really kind of be refined through that process. So, I don't...
Yeah, so how do you feel like your faith has evolved along with that communication and that use of your Eve-like agency? How would you describe that process of your faith growing?
I'd say it's been lifelong and gradual, and that it has required repeated returns to the decision that I'm going to proceed with faith. Mm. Like, I think it's really easy to become cynical in today's world. And it's not just the pressures of the world that cause that cynicism. We can become cynical when we rub up against approaches to faith that don't jibe with our own. When people have easy answers and we're the kind of person that doesn't, you know, that just detracts from our own faith. Like, easy answers don't build my faith. Mm. For some people, you know, that might be the way that they want to live and approach their faith, but it's never worked for me. And so the gospel has brought to my mind more questions than it has brought answers. And that's how I prefer to approach this whole journey of life and faith and spirituality. So I would describe it as something that requires discipline and a lot of putting myself, getting outside of myself, trying to see things from the perspective of people that I am not, trying to put myself in other people's shoes, whether it be an apostle's shoes or whether it be a jailbird's shoes, you know, like somebody I like this quote. Oprah interviewed Maya Angelou and asked what she thinks God is, or how she would describe God. And I hope I don't misrepresent this, but Maya Angelou said, God is all. And then they proceeded to discuss what that meant. But Maya Angelou said that God is in all and everywhere. And that is kind of the view that I've adopted, that God is in the apostle that is trying to maintain a purity of doctrine, as God is in the LGBTQ activist that is trying to make a space for people to have rights and respect for themselves in this world.
Yeah.
And we benefit from those efforts. I've also heard it described as a potter's wheel, and the potter lifts that pot by applying pressure to both sides. Mm. And without that pressure on both sides, you can't create the pot, you know? And so those are things that I try to remember when I feel like I'm squeezed between the two sides.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people feel squeezed between two sides. Has that been a good thing for you to feel squeezed at times? Like when you're feeling that pressure, and I don't know if there's a specific example of a piece that you felt like you wanted to work on and maybe felt the pressure from both sides. Have you found sort of a cathartic release or something good that would help someone who maybe right now is feeling that pressure? Like, is it worth it to feel the pressure and keep going?
Yeah. I don't know what the alternative is for me. I think it is worth it. The other thing that I can do is just stop, and become small and hide in a corner. Like, I've either got to proceed and feel that pressure or become small, right? And I don't think that the gifts that God gave us were given to become small. And that doesn't mean that we can't take a step back and catch our breath and regain our strength at times. I certainly don't feel a need to lean into the pressure 100% of the time. But once I regain my strength, I feel like it's worth it. And it is hopefully, as you mentioned, beneficial to the people that experience the artwork or experience whatever we do that tries to make the world a better place.
Yeah, I love that quote of God being all, because that does demonstrate some expansiveness as well as some nuance. And just as I was thinking about your art and how people might perceive it, people might want just an easy explanation. They see a piece that you've done. Okay, well, what does this mean to me? How does this expansive view hopefully help the way people interpret your art so that they don't feel like they have to only interpret it one way any more than they have to interpret the scriptures one way or interpret the temple one way? Just give us a glimpse inside the artist's mind as far as how you hope that people will use these principles to interpret art, maybe in similar ways that they interpret the gospel.
Yeah, I think one thing to mention about God being all, I don't think that means that God is in abuse. You know, it's God is not in torture. God is not, but God can be God is present in all of us, you know, and,
yeah.
and God can work through us and work through those things and lift us even in those worst times, and
yeah.
especially in those worst times. In terms of approaching any interpretation or the gospel, I think, let me just catch my thoughts for a second. I feel like my job as an artist is not necessarily to decide how someone interprets something. I'm not trying to say this is how you need to think about something. A lot of times art shows the complexity mm-hmm. of any given issue. Like I would much prefer to watch a film that makes me just immerses me in the complexity of something so that I can have a better sense of this universe that we live in than a film, for example, that says, we're trying to say this and this is how you should feel about it. And so I think the power of art is to make us reconsider maybe even the simple preconceptions that we have about the way the world works, the way that the gospel works.
So different perspectives maybe on something that you knew?
Yeah, when I'm approaching a new composition, for example, many times what I want to do is take a scripture and explore the poetry of it, explore a new kind of perspective on it. We grew up with many beautiful images in the gospel art kit, for example, and so in our mind's eye, that is the way that this thing looked or happened, right? But in reality, that was just one artist's imagining of how this thing might have looked, or even how it might have felt. That artist may not have been approaching a certain scene with a literal sort of approach. And
yeah.
so, you know, I think maybe it would benefit us to ask ourselves, do we think this artist is approaching this with kind of a literal approach, or are they trying to get us to reach into something that is more essential, maybe a principle, the principle behind this scene rather than those details. That's one of the reasons, actually, sorry, that was a weird high peak on my inflection. One of the reasons I often paint in a way that removes details and specificity is to say that this painting is about a principle. These are symbols, they're stand-ins for something that is larger than the specifics of this scene. And so I pull those specifics out in order to make the artwork resonate on more of a archetypal level or metaphoric level.
Yeah, and when people maybe they have some complexity or some tension arise because some literal interpretation is something that they struggle with, or maybe they have perceived a literal interpretation of something from the gospel art kit or something, and then they realize maybe it was different. And I think there are a lot of people who have that with translation issues of the Book of Mormon and other things. What advice would you give them if they're struggling with that, where they're saying, I had an expectation that something was how it was represented growing up in the church in primary. Now I realize it might be different. Like you said, I loved how you said, the principle-based approach that you have. I mean, how can a principle-based approach help someone maybe not be so literal that they feel like it's black and white and they don't have a testimony anymore because things are different than they thought that they were?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would say is that those are legitimate concerns. You know, I think one of the reasons those concerns are legitimate is because there are most of us in our community have taken things literally, yeah, and we teach things as though they are literal and unambiguous, or that there's no kind of questions surrounding any of these things. And frankly, I think that that's bad for us. It's easier for most people to wrap their minds. We want something to be concrete and we want absolutes. And so a literal approach, kind of facilitates or leads us down that road of having those answers. But if we then face the actual, but then if we try to look at what but LDS theology teaches us that we are here to learn, to grow, to become like God, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't do that if we're not forced to exercise our agency and grow that as individuals. And so I think the only way we can navigate our own specifics, which are so different from one another, is to return to principles. The underlying principles are what we can apply to our specifics in order to navigate those difficulties. So again, I wouldn't fault anyone for having concerns. I just feel like for me, it's been useful to take a step back and look at things look at the underlying principles rather than kind of a literal reading of things.
So for you, what's the principle that is most important to you? You said earlier that you have sort of a return to God or return to principles. Is there a principle that helps you return the most? Like, you feel like this is the principle that for me is the one that I need to return to most often?
Well, the greatest principle is charity, right? I mean, Paul said that. I think Jesus said that. So that's what I return to. Is this bringing me charity? And the only way that we can have charity is if we legitimately put ourselves in the shoes of the people around us, and the people far from us. Like, we have got to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? There's no way that we can do that unless we can legitimately do our best to try to understand what they are going through.
Yeah, thank you. Just one last question. I'm just wondering if you can describe, was there a specific painting that as you were working on it, that you felt sort of God in the process? And what does that feel like for you, where you know that he's a part of the process?
That's a great question. I think there are different ways that happens. Sometimes it's just in the sketch. You just start moving your pen and then something starts to form, and then that form starts to tell a story. And I'm not saying that the Spirit is actually moving my finger, but as I'm moving my hands, with my mind and my heart invested in that, answers start to come. And that might be similar to the way that we approach life as I work on for example, perhaps a large scale work. It is just, a lot of it's just hard work, racking my brains, trying to find visual solutions or compositional solutions. Sometimes I have to set things aside for months and come back to them later when hopefully an answer has kind of come through thought and meditation and just, looking at it there in my studio for months. So by the time that, the revelation comes or the inspiration, those answers come, it's easy to kind of dismiss it and say, I've worked so hard on this that of course it had to come, And I think that's kind of how life is we go through and it is brutal, it can really be hard. And so when the answers come, we're like, well, yeah, it's about time and I deserve this, but when we step back and take kind of a bird's eye view, that is the process. And my feeling is that God is in that process and that inspiration does come precisely because we've gotten in there and put the work in.
Yeah. Well, I love that because it's such a nice metaphor, and I think probably for you it's literal and metaphorical, of when we have questions or when whatever we're trying to figure out with our own theology is just not, we're not seeing the big picture and just sometimes stepping back, taking a break, trying to feel it, but it does in the end have that simplicity that it would be easy to sort of, minimize how much work we've done and maybe how much work God has done with us.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that these are all miracles, whether small or great, but by the time those miracles come, we have exhausted so much of our own effort and been through so much of our own pain that it's almost like it's like we don't maybe appreciate the wonder of it. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, again, that's the process is not an easy one. I just have never sat back and had God dump a masterpiece in front of me. It's work, it's sweat and tears, it's experiencing pain and struggle in my heart. And that's where the artwork comes from. That's where the message that is useful to people around me comes from. And I think that is the atonement, which is transmitting those horrible negative things into salvation, into revelation.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of the hymn, there's a line in There Is Sunshine in My Soul Today, the flowers of grace appear. Mm. Thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you for sharing the process, but more importantly, thank you for being an example of that process. I know for me and many other people, your art gives hope just because of you as the artist. There's someone out there who's willing to give a voice to people who are voiceless, and I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.